Okay, I have Judy Ansel on the phone. Judy Ansel's a longtime friend of mine, but she's also the producer of the Heartland Labor Forum. She's the prime mover. Thanks for tuning in to Radioactive Magazine. Our topic tonight are statewide referendums in the state of Missouri. Our first interview is with KKFI's own Judy Ansel, followed by an interview with both Gary Peterson and Winston Apple on some of the very many statewide referendums we're going to have in 2018. Behind Cross Border Network, she's been involved with the Jobs with Justice folks. And welcome to Radioactive Magazine, Judy.
Thanks, Bill. Pleasure to be there.
Okay. First of all, I want to just briefly touch on the Right to Work initiative. It's one that really resonates with me because I first got involved in the labor movement back in 1977. And the way I remember that story, and this is before Judy came to town, actually, but for me, there was a big fight to bring Right to Work to Missouri. And when the fight started out, the polling was showing that 60% of Missourians supported Right to Work, and labor really came together, really put up a hard fight, and defeated it after a really long fight, even though it was against the odds. And so, I've always felt that maybe that's a harbinger of the things that we can do this year, because as you know, now in Missouri we have they've passed Right to Work and made Missouri a Right to Work state. But now that labor and its allies gathered over 300,000 signatures, three times the number it needed to get it on the ballot, there will be an initiative on the next ballot to do away with Right to Work. And so I'm just going to ask Judy, what is your how do you see the chances of this passing in Missouri? Now, keeping in mind, back in 1977, Missouri was considered a bellwether state. Now it's considered deeply red. Do you think it's got a chance of passing?
If we look at the energy that labor demonstrated this year in stopping Right to Work from going into effect, and in order to do that, they had to gather enough signatures to by the end of August in order to basically say we want a citizen's veto of this bill that the legislature passed as its first act last January. It was signed, I think, in early February. And in order to stop it from going into effect, they had to submit 100,000 signatures and then put it on the ballot for next year. And they completely outdid themselves. They got three times the number of signatures they needed. They got enough signatures in all eight congressional districts, even though they only needed them from six. And two-thirds of those signatures were gathered by volunteers, mostly from unions, although there were a lot of allied groups who also helped, from the Sierra Club to Jobs with Justice. And they were like astounded by their own success. So given that, if they can put an equal amount of energy into talking to the voters of Missouri and turning out their own members and registering people to vote, because there's a lot of union members who aren't even registered to vote. If they can do all of that by either next August or November, we don't know when they're going to put it on the ballot. That's up to the Republicans. Then I think they can win.
Okay. And we've only, I didn't tell you this at the beginning, but we've only got 10 minutes on this segment. So I'm going to ask about the two other two other initiatives that you're familiar with. So I'll just let you hold forth on both of them, if you would.
Okay. So there's two other initiatives, and they actually really work together. There's a lot of synergy between these two and Right to Work, because they're all about the rights of working people, the economic rights as well as the political rights. And so the other one, which doesn't affect union members so much because they make more than the minimum wage, but affects a lot of low-wage workers, is Jobs with Justice's minimum wage increase petition, which we are trying to put on the ballot for next November. And this would raise the minimum wage in increments from the current $7.70 to $12 by 2023. And so, and we're doing this because not only does the legislature fail to increase the Missouri minimum wage, even though you can't live on $7.70, but also because they've preempted cities, both Kansas City and St. Louis, from raising our city minimum wages. And they're just sitting there saying, no, we won't do it, and we won't let you do it either. And so we're saying, well, we're going to make you do it. And then the other one is Clean Missouri, which is basically a campaign finance reform bill. I mean, one of the reasons we have to do these things by initiative, which is tremendous expense and a tremendous distraction from what we're supposed to be doing to advance our interests, because we have a legislature that's completely unresponsive to the will of the people. All of these things pull overwhelmingly well. And so Clean Missouri would limit campaign contributions to candidates to $2,500 for state Senate and $2,000 for state House. They would limit lobbyist gifts to $5, which is the equivalent of a cup of coffee. Right now, there are no limits at all. Missouri is one of the few states where there's no limits at all on what a lobbyist can buy from a legislator. And we have one of the most corrupt legislatures, I'd say, because of that in the country. And then it would also, among other things, get rid of gerrymandering by making redistricting every 10 years of the state legislative districts nonpartisan instead of being completely dominated by whatever the party is that has the majority. So that's what Clean would do. It also limits them from becoming lobbyists after they leave the legislature for 2 years, which really strikes a chord with a lot of people. We have lots of people signing these petitions, particularly Clean. It's extremely popular because citizens of the state understand that our state government is not responding to the needs of the people.
What kind of infrastructure do you have to gain signatures, and how's signature gathering going? Are you on pace to get
going very well. We have a great operation running here in Kansas City that is focusing on the 5th Congressional District that's, for the most part, Kansas City south of the river, and the 6th District, which, begins in Platte County and goes north and east all across the top of the state. We've gathered thousands and thousands of signatures already. I don't have the exact number, but we're I think in the range of over 30,000 signatures that we've gathered. Clean needs more signatures than Right to Work because Clean is a constitutional amendment. It would put it in the Constitution so that they can't repeal it, because the last time that we did campaign finance reform, the legislature just repealed it.
Well, most of the
we're very confident. This is Jobs with Justice, but also the Clean campaign folks. It's called Clean Missouri, and you can find them on the web at cleanmissouri.org. The minimum wage campaign is called Raise Up Missouri, and you can find that on the web too if you want more information.
Great.
And we also want more volunteers. So if people are interested in helping us and getting out and either getting all your friends to sign, if they're registered voters in Missouri, or taking it to work, or standing out in a street corner like I have done numerous times, I've already gathered almost 700 signatures myself. If you're interested in helping, then you need to call Kansas City Jobs with Justice. And I will give you that number in a minute.
Well,
I don't have it right with me.
Okay, while you're looking for that number, of the 6 districts that you need signatures in, are you going to mostly concentrate on the urban areas simply because, one, that's where the people are, and because of the political polarization?
Well, yes. I mean, we're focusing on six of the congressional districts. There's 8 in Missouri. And so that's taking us out into rural areas. We have a whole operation going in the Springfield area, where they have gathered a lot of signatures.
Okay, so it is resonating in rural areas then.
It is. Yeah, it is.
That's good to hear.
And so, we're confident that we're going to get it from, get the sufficient number of signatures from all the districts we need. That phone number is 816-753-0689. You can talk it up and get informed and talk up why we need this, but you can also donate money to the campaigns.
Okay, and again, that phone number is for volunteers, and give that number one more time.
816 753-0689.
Okay. Well, thanks for being on Radioactive Magazine, Judy. We appreciate it. You're listening to Radioactive Magazine. We are covering the statewide initiative in the state of Missouri. We just heard from Judy Ansel, and now we'll hear an interview with Winston Apple and Gary Peterson. Okay, welcome to this edition to Radioactive Magazine. The topic of tonight's show is going to be statewide referendums here in the state of Missouri, and it seems like 2018 in particular is shaping up to have really a lot of referendums to vote on. We're going to be talking about a number of those, but we can't cover them all because it's only a 30-minute show and there's just too many referendums out there. For example, I ran into somebody who was passing a referendum for medicinal marijuana, and I asked if they wanted to come on and talk about it on the radio, and they acted so paranoid. I thought maybe they had been sampling the goods there, because they said, no, we can't go on the radio. I thought, well, okay, well, good luck getting the word out if you're that afraid of the media. But that's not what we're going to talk about in this segment. We have with us a couple of guests here in the studio. Gary Peterson, who I read about in the Kansas City Star and then have got a chance to meet with now. There was a article in the Kansas City Star on November the 10th by Andy Marceau, and so some of the information I'm going to be asking Gary about is from that. But I know also we have with us Winston Apple, who is with an organization called Government by the People, and actually their organization is supporting 11 different referendums. We're going to highlight a few of those. So welcome to Radioactive Magazine, both.
Thank you.
Gary, I'm going to start with you in particular. I really got interested when I saw that there was a referendum to expand Medicaid, and I thought, wow, that is really a good idea to do it by referendum. When you consider the fact that hospital associations and nurses associations and organized labor and what have you have all always supported the idea of having expanded Medicaid. I thought it would really be a good idea. Then I got a little disheartened in reading the article itself, that it didn't seem like there was the support I had hoped was out there. But I'm going to let you talk about how you got involved with this and what your plans are to meet the challenges of getting Medicaid expansion. So just kind of hold forth on the whole thing as you see it right now.
Well, I'm not sure how I got involved in it. I guess it's just something I happened to see. I've had a website before. And I kept wondering, why in the world doesn't somebody do a petition on it? They tried it for 4 years, I believe, now, and it didn't even get out of committee this year. And so I thought, well, this is something that serves a lot of people in the rural areas, in inner city, and it particularly addresses a lot of people in the rural areas that are voting Republican. And I thought, well, this would be a good way to bring in some voters, maybe, to help get us some of the Democratic slate going. When I started that, the one thing that I did was I made my petition on a regular sheet of paper rather than the larger one like some of them, because I knew that I didn't have a lot of money, so that means that everybody will have to print off their own, or a lot of them will anyway, and a lot of people don't have printers that will print out the larger sheets.
Reading the article, was kind of a primer on what you need to do to pass a referendum, and of course it's, it's gaining 100,000 signatures and 5% of the voter turnout in the last elections in 6 congressional districts. Now, I know you're retired, and I know you have some time on your hands, but that seems like a pretty big mountain to climb. And gather those petitions? How are you going to go about gathering that petition with that wide of a geography, I guess?
Well, the one thing you already mentioned, American Hospital, or the Missouri Hospital, I had hoped that they would go into it. I have already sent out over 1,000 emails and letters I went through, and these are to hospitals, doctors, different organizations in the medical field. And I thought that's where I would get the support. But then when I got into conversation with the Hospital Association, they want to continue with going through the assembly. And so far, we have had a little bit of problem getting the Democratic Association in Missouri to back us also. It's a matter, I think, more than anything, of they had to go through their procedures. But I had already had the idea that the best way to do this is to appeal directly to the people that it affects. And I'm thinking about a lot of churches who should believe in healing people. And then there's other organizations out there, too, like veterans groups or like the American Legion and things like this. And so, and there's some other groups. Jason Kander is, he's out there. He's for the best. So And then Kit Bond had done some work on this also. So I'm still got my thought that I'm going to get some other name people behind me. But in the meantime, there's a lot of churches that I'm already making some contacts with them. And it's the kind of thing that they ought to be able to get signatures right in a church service.
Okay, Winston, I know that the two of you have, you mentioned before that the interview that you had met each other at a couple of Democratic clubs or what have you. So what do the Democrats in the state have to say about that particular petition? We've got a whole bunch more to cover, but that one in particular, what are you hearing from them?
Well, I can only tell you primarily what one Democrat in the state has to say about them. I have had conversations. The Missouri Democratic Party recently, a month and a half ago, unveiled what they called Healthy Missouri. And it's 8 initiatives around health care and health insurance that Democratic candidates will be able to pick up on next year. And Medicaid expansion was one of those 8. And when they did their press event here in Kansas City, I attended. And I spoke to Stephen Weber, who's the chair of the Missouri Democratic Party, and Emily Wagner, who's the executive director. And I suggested to them that this was a really important issue and that we should submit a ballot proposal as well as legislation in the General Assembly to get this done, and pointed out that along with one of the initiatives that I filed, which is for a public option for health insurance through a revenue-neutral, market-oriented health insurance cooperative that would be called the Missouri Health Insurance Cooperative. If you got those two things passed, between Medicaid expansion and this public option, Missouri could be the first state in the country to truly have universal health care. Quick last thought, the state committee of the Missouri Democratic Party is what they're telling Gary needs to endorse this before the party can officially get behind it. And I can tell you that it's my intention to bring that up as a discussion between now and the state committee meets on December 9th. And it is my hope that they will endorse Gary's petition at that time.
Okay. Reading some of the body language and tones of voices and stuff, do you think is a good chance of that happening?
There should be. And I'll tell you why. I think that at this point in Congress, you've got Republican control. Here in Missouri, you've got extreme Republican control. They've got a veto-proof majority in both houses of the General Assembly, and they don't need it because they've got a Republican governor as well. So the only way that we're going to get things passed from the Democratic progressive populist side is through the ballot initiative.
Well, I had in mind that if we could get them to work with us, which I'm pretty sure they will before it's all over, that every representative and senator out there, whenever they have a town hall, they should be emphasizing both mine and some of the things that he has. And they can be collecting signatures, but they can be putting an issue out at the same time. Excuse me. We just won a lot of seats in Virginia, and the guy who's in charge of the DNC, but he said you have to have a message, and you have to get and talk to the people face-to-face. And this allows us to do so if we can get them working with us. Now, it's not the only way to go, and I've got a whole lot of other things that I think can bring it in also, but that would certainly be the best thing. Every time they put out something, they can draw our stuff in. And they support one another. I mean, his insurance thing supports mine, and it helps people. So.
Okay, I'm going to... we're about halfway through our 20-minute interview already. I know time really flies when you're doing these things.
Yes.
So give us some of the initiatives that you're working on, Winston.
Well, you mentioned 11, and I have filed 11. 10 of them have been approved for circulation. We're actively working on 7 of them. But, you know, there's a whole methodology to trying to get people to sign multiple petitions. You mentioned Gary's up to 3 now, and there are some other good ones out there. There's a minimum wage out there. The 8th one that we're thinking about adding is relates to the minimum wage, but it simply says there are 10 things listed in the Missouri Constitution that the state legislature cannot do, and this would add an 11th. They could not keep a city, town, village, or county from raising their minimum wage above the state level.
I know a lot of people in this city that would certainly support
Kansas that. City and St. Louis have both raised it to 15.
Right.
As I understand it, the minimum wage circulation, the petition that's being circulated, peaks at $12 an hour. And I know there's been a lot of disappointment among progressives that it didn't go to 15. This would be a way to kind of make up for that. Yeah. Any place in the state that wanted to go to 15 could go there.
Now, I know from our prior discussions on some of the initiatives you passed that you have some really, the word radical maybe has a connotation I don't like so much, but...
ambitious?
Ambitious. pick one or two that you think are the most,
Absolutely. The one that if we have to narrow it down to one and only one is going to get on the ballot, because it does require different techniques to get people to sign multiple petitions. And we've done that. We've had people all over the state sit down and sign 7 at a time. But the one that would make the most difference by far, not even close, is proportional representation in the General Assembly, replacing our current winner-take-all system with single-member districts. I have a proposal that would reduce the size of the Missouri House from 163 to 80. That would be 10 representatives elected from each of our 8 congressional districts. With proportional representation in each party's primary, and the primaries become far more important because you're going to have a whole host of candidates for each party, including the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, Socialist Workers, if the unions want to start a labor party. Each party would have a list of candidates, and the voters would vote for their favorite candidate in whatever party's primary they want to participate in. That is used to put together an ordered list, so the candidate within the Democrats, Republicans, Green Party, the candidate that gets the most votes is listed first, the second most votes second, right down to, in this case, you'd have 10 people for seats in the Missouri House. For the Missouri Senate, you'd have a list of 17 from each party elected at large around the state. And then in the general election, instead of voting for an individual candidate, you vote for a party and its list. It's called proportional representation because each party then gets a percentage of the seats in the Missouri House or Senate based on the proportion of the vote they got. If a party gets half the votes, they get half the seats. If a party gets 10% of the votes, they get 10% of the seats. This changes so many things. It literally addresses all of the problems within our political system. And I like to point out, this isn't theoretical. Proportional representation is in place in 94 countries around the world. 85 of them use the ordered party list system that I just described. In countries with winner-take-all and single-member districts, you have 2 major parties. That's it. It's just, you can, throughout history, and there's only 3 major countries, the United States, Canada, and Great Britain, that have this system of winner-take-all.
Now, I'm wondering about the systemic problem of trying to go to that kind of system that sounds like you might get some pushback from both Democrats and Republicans since they are the established parties.
You'll get major pushback from Republicans. You'll get pushback from some Democrats. But I will tell you that I have been talking to my fellow Democrats and Republicans and Independents and Green Party and Libertarians all over the state of Missouri for 2 years now about this.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that when you start to talk to a group of people, and I've seen this from stage after stage. You see their faces, brows furrowed, faces scrunched up as they struggle to understand this. And then you see their facial muscles relax and smiles on their faces as they realize how wonderful and how different this would be.
Yeah, when you think about the Democratic Party, for example, you know, you're including a lot of people that otherwise would vote for a Green Party or a whole lot of other people in that coalition.
Right.
But that's, it's a binary choice, and so they only got one side. So
you're talking about a lot of people within both parties, including the Republican Party, who like small d democracy, genuine democracy, where voters have more than two parties to choose from. And I have to tell you, after last year's election, the percentage of people who want more than two parties to choose from is at an all-time high in the United States of America. And I can tell you this de-emphasizes money, because you can't run attack ads against five or six other candidates or parties. Again, not theoretical, in the countries that have proportional representation, women and minorities have a greater percentage of the seats. It's just a different type of campaign. It's not a competitive series of attack ads, gotcha moments, trying to drag the other candidate down. In the general election, voting for parties and their platforms, the discussion shifts to issues. What are the problems we face as a state and as a nation? Which party or candidates have the best ideas for addressing those problems? And so you have an issue-oriented, can you imagine that? A campaign where we talk about issues instead of Judge Roy Moore and his problems with young women, or Al Franken and his inappropriate photos. I mean, this is crazy that we have so many major problems right now. The climate crisis, so many people struggling to make ends meet, even if they have two or three part-time jobs. Healthcare not being a right for every American. It says in the Democratic Party platform that the Democratic Party has been fighting for universal healthcare for generations. That's true. It goes back to Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Truman. The problem is the American people, and I got a feeling Gary agrees with me on this, it's time to stop fighting and win the fight. It's time for people to absolutely have a right to see a doctor when they need to.
I'd like to cover all, I really would like to cover all 11 referendums. But
find them all at governmentbythepeople.org.
You answered my question without me getting out of my mouth. I'm going to go back to Gary and let him mention that he said he had two other initiatives. I want to give him a chance to at least briefly tell what those are about.
Well, the one that I'm probably the proudest of is to reinstate the franchise tax, which Missouri just got rid of it last year. And we've had it for about 80 since 1980. And it involved more money than what they thought. And this is one of the reasons that we are having a hard time with our budget right now. And what this franchise does is it will reinstate it. This is a tax on major businesses like Walmart and things like that. Nobody's going to have money coming out of their pocket for this. And it will bring in approximately $9 billion. And half of it would go to the road tax, and half would go to the schools that are that have high levels of poverty. And so this is something that another thing that we have not been able to do. We haven't been able to do a road tax because people don't want to pay extra tax. But if you get money coming in from these major corporations, and both mine and then some of his also, they are using, they're not putting taxes on the people. They're bringing in money from the outside and from other areas. And then the other thing is that I have going is to take the our voter registration back to where the people do not have to worry about going out and getting a photo ID to be able to vote. It takes us back to what we were before, and it worked just fine.
Well, as I knew going into this, we weren't going to have nearly enough time. But, you know, we still have several months to cover these topics,
yes.
And I intend to do this several more times between now and next year. I want to thank both Winston Apple and Gary Peterson for coming in to being on Radioactive Magazine, and thank you for your interest in helping improve the world we live in.
Thank you for having us.